You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Today's show is all about the sounds of our world, the ones we imagine and the ones that are real. That's something that makes a lot of sense when you think about radio. After all, there's not really anything to see here. For all you know, I could have a giant pineapple on my head right now. In the end, dear listener, it doesn't really matter at all what I look like. But if things don't sound right, we notice. Even if we don't realize what's wrong, our ears and our brains prick up. Take BART, for example. Most of us who ride recognize this sound. But what if Hollywood made a movie about San Francisco and used this sound for a scene at a BART station? We'd know it was wrong. And for those of us who live here, it would ruin the authenticity of the scene.
Sound is tricky. When you get sound right, nobody notices. When you get sound wrong, it's very, very wrong.
That's Jen Ralston. She's a sound editor for film and television with credits on everything from The Big Lebowski to Hedwig and the Angry Inch to David Simon's HBO series The Wire and Tremé. While a lot of her work involves creating sounds to match the action we see on the screen, her work also sends her out into the field to make sure all the sonic details of a place are as realistic as possible. KALW's Julie Kane met up with Ralston at her home in San Francisco to talk about the work she did to bring post-Katrina New Orleans alive in the show Tremé.
So the show is about how New Orleans gets back on its feet after this large storm, this large event, changes the entire city. It changes who lives there, who can afford to live there, what's left, what jobs there are, and who returns, who can return, who does return, what they do. So the city sounds completely different after Katrina. So, the wildlife changed, the domestic animal life changed, the number of people in general dropped drastically, of course. Less car traffic, less pedestrian traffic. There were no air conditioners, which meant that just the general noise floor of the city was lower. You didn't have that kind of rumble and buzz, the street lights, the everything was quieter. And one thing that some people told me was that as people were returning to the city, if it was a neighborhood where there was only one or two houses where people returned, the people in those houses would make it a point to be as loud as possible. Like they were almost trying to assert that there is life in this block, and if you're looking for something to steal or if you're looking to make trouble, there are people here. And so everybody had a dog that was very jumpy and would bark at anything that moved because there were very little things moving. And everybody who was home had a generator and a radio playing or a TV or music. They were just making as much noise as possible to sort of like kind of assert their territory. I had to spend a lot of time down there. I had to do a lot of research. I had to interview a lot of people who were there before and some during, but mostly after, right after the storm. In the course of one of the interviews, I think it was a woman who came back early to help round up stray animals. And so those volunteers were helpful in particular because they were paying attention to how things sounded. They were listening for cats and dogs and they were aware of, where there would be rats or, and something else that would draw the animals or be dangerous to them, they were aware of. So they were walking around a lot and they were listening. And one of them told me that there were urban roosters on the levee. Not too many people get the excuse to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the Ninth Ward to record to record anything. It's my job. I've got to do this. I have to, take my recorder and go look for urban chickens. The reason why Tremé was important to me is because I was in New York City during 9/11. And being a sound editor, working in sound, what I noticed the most was how different things sounded after 9/11. People didn't honk their horns for, it felt like a month. People weren't yelling on the street. You know, you didn't just yell across the street to somebody else. It was very somber. And it sounded somber. The same amount of people, you know, more or less, and especially just in the neighborhoods that weren't directly affected, you know. But they behaved differently, and it affected how the city sounded. As our ratings can attest, we didn't make the show for people living outside of New Orleans. The show was, it was very much an insider show, and, you know, verisimilitude was the watchword. We wanted to get everything as right for them as possible. This is the way David Simon works. He was a journalist. So even though he's writing fiction now, it's fiction based in reality. But the thing that's really important to him is making it sound right for the people who are actually there. So that is why I took the time to interview so many people that were there. And at first they didn't really understand, some of them, my questions. Like when I said, what did New Orleans sound like after Katrina? It sounds sort of like a rubbernecking question. Like, you know, did you see any dead bodies? You know, and I wasn't asking that. I was asking, what did the city sound like? And they said, I don't know what you mean. And I said, well, when I was in New York City on September 12th, I noticed this, you know, I noticed there were much fewer airplanes, and the only airplanes that were allowed to fly overhead were military, and they sound very different than commercial jets. You know, once they got that ball rolling, they were able to say, oh yeah, there weren't any air conditioners. Oh, that, you know, there were a lot of dogs, but they didn't bark a lot. But there were these animals, and this one guy had a goat that got loose, and it was over there. And they were able to tell me what the city sounded like after Katrina, when they didn't think that it sounded any different the first time I asked them. And that stuff, you know, because sound is tricky. When you get sound right, nobody notices. When you get sound wrong, it's very, very wrong. And, you know, if we had put the time and care into telling the story and showing the visuals of New Orleans, even if all of that was accurate, but there were kids playing in a playground in the background when schools weren't open for like 8 months after that, or if, you know, there were a bunch of songbirds in the spring or crickets at night, people watching in San Francisco wouldn't notice, but people in New Orleans would be, oh, this show, that, you know, this is Hollywood crap. They don't know what we did, what happened to us. They don't understand. Whereas now, you know, most of the people who do comment on the sound of the show, they're like, wow, you got the helicopters right. We had a lot of helicopters in the first season. And they're like, yeah, that's what I remember. There was a lot of helicopters.